you find in 1 Samuel certain subjects that can be considered the theme of the book. And I do not think you could say it's just one thing. For instance, prayer is the theme of the two books of Samuel. 1 Samuel opens with prayer. 2 Samuel closes with prayer. And in between, there's a great deal of prayer. Then another theme is that which we've suggested, the kingdom. And you have the change of the government of Israel from a theocracy to a kingdom. And you have God's covenant with David in 2 Samuel 7, which is very important, as we shall see. Now you see also the rise of the office of prophet. And the prophet becomes important in this book. And the prophet now is the messenger of God in place of the priest. You see, when Israel was a theocracy, God moved through the priesthood. But when they failed, as we shall see in this book, then God set them aside, raised up the prophets as his messengers, and put a king on the throne. And actually, it was for these people deterioration rather than an improvement. But I want to add just this word. Actually, God's form of government is a kingdom and a king. The problem with different forms of government is not the form of government that is wrong. Actually, any form of government would be good if you had good people. The problem today is not with our form of government. The trouble is with the people that are connected with it and that are trying to make it work. Or rather, some seem to be trying to make it not work. But a kingdom is God's ideal, and he intends to put a king on the throne down here. And the king he's going to be put on the throne is going to be a wonderful king. And when he's on the throne, friends, there'll be blessing on this earth. And the earth won't be in the condition that it is in today. I don't buy this sort of thing today that we're building a kingdom and the kingdom is coming and all that sort of thing as if men are going to do it. May I say to you, when Jesus Christ, the Prince, is ruling in this world, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you're not going to have a poverty program, you won't have an ecological program, and you won't have an immoral program. You're going to have righteousness and peace covering this earth like the waters cover the sea. Now you have in these historical books some very interesting persons, and we're going to meet them. I think God would like for us to get acquainted with them. It's good to go with a good crowd. You'll find a good crowd here, and there's a crowd to shun. We have, for instance, quite a contrast between these two books of Samuel and the book of Judges. Now, when we went through the book of Judges, you'll recall that I had a great deal to say about the fact that every man who was a judge had some terrific fault, a defect. One of them was left-handed. Well, now, there's nothing wrong in being a southpaw, but if the man hadn't been a southpaw, he'd never been a judge. And Gideon, we think of Gideon, the brave man. Why, he's the biggest coward that you find in the Bible, friends. And may I say to you that these are little men, but they were an encouragement to many of us who are little people today. We take hope and we take courage and we take refuge in the fact that God will use little people. And he used these men. But now we're going to meet some outstanding folk here in 1 Samuel. Hannah, Eli, and Samuel, and Saul, and Jonathan, and David. I want to tell you, they're outstanding, every one of them. And we are going to see here that the kingdom shadows forth the coming millennial kingdom in some respects. And there are certain profound global lessons for us in the setting up of the kingdom. And the world needs needs three things: a king with power who exercises his power righteously. Second, a king who will be in full dependence upon God and who can be trusted with power. The problem today is that there's no human being that can be trusted with power today, and no party for that matter. Then there is a third profound need of the world. The world needs a king who is in full obedience to God. And all that is shattered forth here. Now let's come today and get our foot in the door of 1 Samuel. And we're going to move just a little faster now in this book and in these historical books than we did previously in the book of Acts and in the Gospel of John. Now we have here, and I'll not give the outline today other than probably to mention certain great basic outlines here. For instance, in 1 Samuel, you have in the first 8 chapters, Samuel, God's prophet. And then you have Saul, Satan's man, chapters 9 through 15. And then you have David, God's man, and Saul, Satan's man, in contrast. And then when you get to 2 Samuel, it's all about David.